This podcast contains adult language. DigitalDarren.com. Today is November 3rd, 2014. NFL Week 10 picks and kicks. Mr. MOB with me. What's up, homie?
What's up, dude? How are you, man?
Chilling. Everything cool. Everything cool. Again, happy birthday. 2 weeks in a row, you support the podcast enough, you get two birthday shout outs.
I appreciate that, homie. I appreciate all the love. Everybody who came out and celebrated with me on Sunday, I had a good time. I enjoyed seeing all the faces, all the love. So, big ups to my whole team. Everybody, I love all y'all. Appreciate it. All
right, so I wanted to start off. You don't know this, but I wrote a letter to Arthur Blank, and I'm thinking if I should hand deliver it to the Falcons or should I mail it to him or what I should do to it. And so, to anybody who listens, if you want me to sign your name or if you want to be a part of this letter, email me at DigitalDarren, digital, D-A-R-O-N, at gmail.com. That's DigitalDarren at gmail.com. Did you want me to read the letter to you?
Yeah, read it. Let me hear it.
All right. It says, Dear Mr. Blake, I hope this letter finds you in great health and spirits. My name is Darren, and I'm the host of DigitalDarren.com, an Atlanta-based themed podcast show. The constituency of the show is primarily native Atlanteans and people who are unwavering in their support of the city of Atlanta and its sports teams. I'm sure you are aware of the history of Atlanta sports teams. Often mediocre, occasionally above average, rarely great. The Atlanta Hawks have been average at best. The Atlanta Braves gave us great memories from the 90s and early 2000s, but delivered just one championship, and your Atlanta Falcons. Your ownership has brought a new age of hope and enthusiasm to a team that has a history of being a subpar NFL team. Your energy, passion, and desire to bring a championship to the great city of Atlanta does not go unnoticed, and it is appreciated by all true fans of the Falcons. Under your ownership, the Falcons have accomplished back-to-back winning seasons, several playoff appearances, and a showing in the NFC Championship game. While all these feats are a step in the right direction, they represent a failure and the ultimate goal we all share, Super Bowl champions, the Atlanta Falcons. While it is not easy to fire individuals, it is clearly time to relieve General Manager Thomas Dimitroff and Head Coach Mike Smith of their duties. The putrid play of the 2014 Atlanta Falcons is a direct reflection on Mr. Dimitroff's incompetence in free agency and draft, along with Coach Smith's coaching. Some of Mr. Dimitroff's failed moves include Steven Jackson, free agency, Pariah Jerry, draft, Corey Brimman, draft, Jamal Anderson, draft, Sam Baker, draft, O.C. Urmonyura, free agency, just to name a few. Even Mr. Dimitroff's signature move, the draft of Julio Jones, has left us thin in other positions because of the draft picks we gave up to acquire Mr. Jones. Unfortunately for head coach Mike Smith, he has been handcuffed by Mr. Dimitroff's bad moves and the overall lack of talent on the roster. Though Mr. Dimitroff has left our roster depleted, Coach Smith has failed on the field with his conservative coaching and other mistakes, like not playing Antoine Smith more. Fortune favors the bold, and we have not been bold when it counts. This is a direct reflection on the head coach, and this seems to be a skill Coach Smith would not gain. At this point, Mr. Dimitroff and Coach Smith are handcuffed together and seen as a common problem to us, the fan base, and removing one without the other will only solve part of the problem. In conclusion, we, the loyal fans of the Atlanta Falcons, beg you to do what is right for your investment in our city and make the change that is clearly needed. Sincerely, Darren and the faithful Atlanta Falcons fans everywhere and the people of DigitalDarren.com.
That's a really sincere, thoughtful. You put some thought and time and everything into that. And if you're an owner that cares anything about Falcon fans and the public that he's supposed to be representing, you know what they're trying to do anyway. There's been rumblings on SportsCenter and in the media already this week about somebody going to go, but they need to go.
Let me ask you this. In a way, you're the perfect person to ask because you're not really a Falcons fan, but you are from Atlanta. Since maybe fandom is blinding me, who do you see as the major problem of this?
Well, I don't want to jump on the Thomas Dimitro bandwagon, but it got to be him. Because it's, like you said, what he's bringing in and what he's not bringing in today, his draft selections. So, you know what I'm saying? I feel like Mike Smith, any coach with a depleted roster, 9 times out of 10, going to be the first one to take the blunt of the blow. He going to take the big hit, but Thomas Dimitro, yeah, he may be behind the scenes, so to speak, to a lot of non-sports fans, but yeah, he got to be on the chopping block because he's not. It's even other free agents who might be up in age or whatever. They're not going to work him out. They're not going to look at him. They're not making no offers. I don't see how he can think what he done did in the draft and in free agents since he beat him would be enough to win a championship.
Let me stop right there. The offense is good. I'm sorry to just cut you off, but I want to make a couple of points. I think that the Falcons have a talent problem, and it's hard for casual fans to see because if you're a fan of the Browns or the Rams or the Seahawks or the Jaguars or whoever you're a fan of, when you think of the Falcons, you think of Julio Jones, you think of Roddy White, you think of Matt Ryan. So you're like, oh, they got pieces. Yeah, on offense we do, but at skill positions, but we don't have a line. And then I challenge anybody to name 3 players on our defensive side of the ball.
Yep.
Like, everybody.
And I'm an avid sports fan, and I watch sports, and I watch the Falcons, and I know sports players and teams, but like you said, I'm here in Atlanta. I watch the Falcons. I'm not a fan, but I watch the games. And I can barely name 3 players off their defense. And that's a shame.
I mean, let's just be honest. Atlanta Falcons fans could say Paul Werlau, O.C. Umanure, really just because of his past, not shit he's done with the Falcons. You know what I'm saying? And the two second-year players, Trufant and Robert Alford. But even then, you know, like, those are real Atlanta Falcons fans. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so if the casual fan can't name really one defensive player, that says something about how sucky your defense is. Because even when Navarro Bowman started coming into his own, SportsCenter was talking about him. So you'd be like, let me check that boy Bowman out because you hearing other analysts and everybody talking about him, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Falcons fail in that position. Do you think, let me say this. I honestly think Mike Smith isn't. If it's a pie chart, I think Mike Smith is maybe 10% of the problem. Or 20%. I don't think he's a big part of the problem. But I think he's average at best. You know what I'm saying? I think he's average, maybe above average occasionally, but at best he's average. When you're average, just like any analogy, when you're an average looking girl, you have to do all the other things to attract the guy, right? So you have to dress good, smell even better, add a little sachet to your walk. Blase this, blase that, right? Well, as opposed to the baddest chick in the room can just pretty much show up and she'll get noticed, right? So in that analogy, I would say Mike Smith is an average girl, and he's not doing those other things, the subtle things that get me, that would get a man noticed. He's not doing the subtle things that pull a win out of a loss, or, hey, the Falcons are overachieving this year. And so I do think that's his problem. But I think the problem as a whole is Dimitroff. I know it's not easy to ask for nobody's job. In the letter, I don't really feel great about asking for somebody's job, but it's just the time to make that change. Because I'm sure they have to feed their families like everybody else, but at some point you kind of lost out on all the goodwill, and everything that you tried to build has failed. Because I think that and I'm sticking on Dimitrov and wrap this part up. I think that his initial problem was when he looked at us when we played Green Bay that year, and Green Bay dogged us. He looked at the problem and said, we need more offense. And that's when he did the trade to get Julio. When the actual anybody who watched that game would say, hey, we don't have no fucking defense. You know what I'm saying? And so the trend has been offense, 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 offense. I try to skate by on defense. You know what I'm saying? So I think that he initially assessed the problem wrong at that point. And that was where the slippery slope started, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right, because, like I said, if you remember that game, the Falcons scored 28, but Green Bay scored 42. So the biggest problem was the defense. He just thought maybe we could score anybody, we could beat anybody, but that ain't how sports work. Defense wins championships. You know what I'm saying? Offense sell tickets and get excitement, but defense wins games. So he did not address the defense side of the ball at all. Since then, he ain't made no blockbuster move on defense to where somebody be like, oh yeah, boy, that was a good defensive move right there. That was a good play, a good pick, or a good draft. He ain't did nothing like that. So, like you said, if it's a pie chart, of course he got to take most of it. Yeah. He got to have the daddy slice.
Oh, the big man slice of the pie. Yeah.
Yeah, he gotta get the big man slice of the pie now. He bringing it in. He gotta, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, Mike Smith gotta have something to work with. And everybody can tell if it ain't that line is piss poor. The offensive line, you can't win. I don't care who throwing it, catching it, running it. Without a decent or a good offensive line, you're going to look sorry because you got a lot of people now saying, oh, Matt Ryan did that. Matt Ryan only doing what he can do. Everybody knows he's not a scrambler. He's a good quarterback, but with no protection, he looked very sorry. The offense ain't even putting up points in contra line. So, I give you a lot of props for writing that letter. And if you can hand delivery to the flower branch on Arthur Blank desk, I would suggest you do so, because then he would know the feelings of his fans who really sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Do you want me to sign your name on the letter?
Yeah, I'm an extra, might as well, another person. I am an Atlantean, like you said, and to be honest, I'm not a Falcons fan. But, like I told Tyrone before, yeah, I would like for the Falcons to be a championship team. Yes, I would like to root for my own team. But when you've been coming up short and they've been keep on letting you down year after year after year after year, you eventually learn not to put your faith in something like that. So, yeah, you can put my name on that. I would gladly sacrifice my fanhood for him to see that this is really serious, even you got non-Falcons fans want to see you do better.
That's a great way. Let's transition to the Lewinsky and the Usuck Awards. Let's go on and start with the Lewinsky Award.
Oh, my Lewinsky Award this week, Mr. MOB again, as last week, goes to Ben Roethlisberger. Ain't no way in the world he can't get some head for throwing another 6 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns in 2 weeks against his hated rival, Baltimore Ravens, my team. But he deserves it. I don't see nobody else who can even get a little bit ahead besides Big Ben.
I agree with you, Big Ben, but there is somebody else, a team that deserves a little more head too. Tom Brady and the Patriots. They always seem to do this to Peyton Manning in the cold in the regular season. And, you know, I don't want to go against who's better because I think Peyton Manning is light years better than Tom Brady for the simple fact that Brady has Belichick. Peyton Manning basically goes into that gunfight by himself more times than not. You know what I'm saying? So, I give Brady some Lewinsky, but I got to give Ben most of the Lewinsky. You know what I'm saying? Ben to be the first person to step up to the plate, then Tom can get the leftovers or whatever. And Tom and the Patriots can get the leftovers for me. So.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, let's go on and transition to the You Suck Award.
Yeah, well, me, I give my You Suck Awards to the other end of your Whiskey Award, and that's the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning. It seems like Peyton Manning and the Broncos, since he's been there, you know, they beat the teams. You think they're going to be do these magnificent games and throw these good touchdowns, and the offense seem unstoppable. But when you come out to a worthy opponent like the Seahawks earlier and the Patriots Sunday, you know, it seems like, I don't want to say he disappears, because he still have decent numbers, but, like, when you going to ever kick the shit out of the team that everybody feel like you're not supposed to kick the shit out of? When you going to beat Tom Brady head in? You have beat him before or whatever, but in the past with the Colts and with the Broncos, you be edged by them. I'm saying, when you going to kick Tom Brady's ass one time? And maybe I'm speaking as a Peyton Manning fan. I'm not a Broncos fan, but I'm a Peyton Manning fan. So sometimes I want him to kick Tom Brady's ass like Tom Brady has kicked his ass all these different times and win by 2 or 3 touchdown margin. I just want to see Peyton Manning do that to him one time. So in saying that, I just say, hey, man, to get my You Suck Award this week, because yet again, you let the bully come to the playground, take your lunch money, push you on the ground, you know what I'm saying, call your assistants in your own running. When you don't stand up to him and punch him in the nose and give him bloody nose. So until he can do that to Tom Brady in a convincing fashion, he might be my forever You Suck until the next time he play Tom Brady.
That was award-winning analysis right there. I completely agree, Peyton Manning. I want to stick on the bully analogy. Peyton Manning is the bully who beats everybody up in elementary school. Then he gets to middle school, and it's two brothers who are already there. He in sixth grade. One of them in seventh, one of them in eighth. One of them is Belichick, one of them is Brady. So now he starts picking on people, and they start picking on him. And like you said, he may win one, lose four. You know what I'm saying? But they clearly have their place in him. So he doesn't look as big as bad to everybody else. But I agree with you. I think Peyton Manning is the best football player, though. Point blank, period. But he needs to beat their ass one time. Not just win. He got to beat their ass. So the other school kids will start back being afraid of him. You know what I'm saying? So I completely agree. He can't just beat them. He has to beat them 40-20 or some shit like that.
Yeah, he got to beat their ass one time. Like you just said, just beat the ass one time. Just beat the hell out of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Then folks will say, you know, even though, like we said, I think Peyton Manning may be the second greatest football player. I think Jerry Rice number one. And it got to be Peyton Manning. But you got people always going to continue to say, he ain't nowhere near good as Tom Brady. And being realistic, you know he a better quarterback than Tom Brady. But it'll never be said, because Tom Brady always got the more wins. He always get them games like Sunday when he kick his ass. And hey, man, he got to take it. You know what I'm saying? Tonight, the Falcons thing, he got to take it. You can't just say, oh, nigga, you crazy. He not better than Peyton Manning, but, hey,
stats matter at some point.
Damn right. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie. Head to head, hey, Tom Brady got it. So, he got to beat his ass one time to make it just stick. And it's going to have to be more than one time, because some people still not going to waver between, oh, he better, because they're going to be like, man, Brady done killed them all them time. So he's gonna have to.
I think it's too. I disagree. I think that if he beat his ass one time and win the Super Bowl in the same year, that'll end that talk. I think he needs is one more Super Bowl.
If he beat his ass same year, then win the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's a different ball game.
Yeah, that. So like,
last year, he beat him and he lose the Super Bowl. Then he still be like, ah, he can't even win a big game.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I think for Peyton to do that, he had to beat his ass and win the Super Bowl in the same year. And that squashed everything about it. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on and go to the, let's pick the games. The first game is the Browns at the Bengals. The line is Cincinnati by 6.5.
Man, this is a crazy game, call. That division is crazy in itself. Everybody is 5-3. 6-3, you know what I'm saying? That division is crazy. So, oh man, I don't even know. Is AJ Green playing?
It does say he out. He played last week.
Oh well, I might have to take Cincinnati, but I don't take Cincinnati at all.
Completely agree. Cincinnati wins, but not by 6.5. You said it last week. I think Cleveland is some pretenders. They just playing a whole bunch. They're the best out of all the losing teams, essentially. But I don't trust Cincinnati to beat anybody by a touchdown. They aren't that good offensively. The first Sunday game is the Falcons at the Buccaneers.
Now, here we go. Now, this time, last time I went with Tampa Bay, this time the Falcons, they're going to be in Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah, coming off a bye week.
Coming off a bye, the Falcons. I think the Falcons got enough. I don't know how, but they got enough to beat Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, they done won a few shocking games. They beat Pittsburgh, but coming off a bye and people jobs at stake, the Falcons on edge bound. What's the line?
The line is Atlanta by 2.
Oh, well, yeah. It might be by 2. I was gonna say, I hope they didn't get the Falcons on outrageous line based off of that last win, but yeah, the Falcons might win by a field goal. So
coming off of bye, the Falcons win. They win by a field goal. Let me ask you this, because Lord knows we don't talk about the Falcons too much in this podcast. If they lose this game, is Des Wood getting Mike Smith and Thomas Dimitro fired?
Yeah, if they lose this game, Arthur Blank gonna go to Home Depot and get some jackhammers and smash it in their chest, and they gotta be out of here. Somebody gonna be gone. They lose this game to Tampa Bay coming off a bye. Oh yeah, something gonna have to happen. At first I said we were offline or online. I was saying I don't think Arthur Blank gonna make a coaching change or fire somebody mid-season, but they lose to Tampa Bay. He's going to pull the trigger on somebody.
So you say I need to get my little up there before Friday?
Yeah. You need to get all your names on the letter. Get it up there by Friday so he can know. You ought to put a P.S. on them. P.S. If we lose to Tampa Bay, do what you got to do.
All right. The next 1 o'clock game is Kansas City at Buffalo. Line is Kansas City by 2.5.
Oh yeah, I'm rolling with Kansas City again.
That's your little team.
Yeah, that's been my team. I'm rolling with Kansas City.
I'm going with Buffalo.
Oh well, they gonna lose.
We shall see.
Jamal Charles been ripping now.
Kyle Lloyd been playing.
I'm just gonna say, Sammy Watkins and Kyle Orton, they've been looking good, but I still think Kansas City
can take them. All right. The next 1 o'clock game is Miami at Detroit.
I don't know. It depends on what Tannehill show up. I like watching on NFL Today or something today. They were saying he got that deep ball. He can't throw it deep, but he been playing pretty decent. But I don't know. I guess I got to go. Go with Detroit, Carl. Yet they still got that strong front four on the defensive side of the ball. So I think if they get out the Tannehill, they can pull a win off. Go with Detroit.
The line is Detroit by 3. I got Detroit for the simple fact Calvin Johnson's supposed to play. So if Calvin Johnson, Megatron, and Matt Stafford is a winning combination at home. So I got Detroit. Next game is Dallas at the Jaguars.
What you gonna do?
I already wrote down Jacksonville. The line is Dallas by 7. No way in the hell the Cowboys get 7 on the road when Romo not playing.
Well, if Romo not playing, they're going to load it up and give it to DeMarco Murray. But it depends on what Jaguars team show up, but I'm going to still take the Cowboys and I'm going to say they cover the 7. If it's 21-7, they cover the 7. Or 21-10, they cover the 7. I think Jacksonville just ain't finna put no points up, and I think the Cowboys can put everybody on Murray back and they can come up with a win against Jacksonville by 7.
All right, the next game is San Francisco at New Orleans. The line in New Orleans by 5.
No, we're going to San Francisco. I don't know when we're going to come out of this funk. We're fumbling on the goal line and we're giving away games. I don't know what to say, but. And I know it's almost being a complete idiot to go against New Orleans in the Superdome, but I'm going to take San Francisco. I can't not roll with my squad. So.
Mike.
I can feel like hopefully we can get it going this game.
MOB.
Yeah.
I got a secret for you to tell you.
What secret?
San Francisco isn't that good.
Why would just they is that good?
No, they're not. New Orleans win this game and they win by double digits.
You out of your complicated mind.
New Orleans win this game and they win by double digits. San Francisco is not good.
San Francisco, right now the NFL powerhouses are having off years right now. The Seahawks struggling, San Francisco struggling, but that defense is going to prevail. I'm telling you, before the end of the year, that defense is going to settle down and we're going to get everything the way it's supposed to be. And we're going to be right back in the thick of things toward the end of the playoffs, I guarantee you.
I got another secret for you. Y'all aren't making the playoffs this year. And we can bet that.
We'll see.
We can bet. Offline, we can bet if you want to.
We can see if they're not going to make the playoffs. What do you think they're going to make it out of that division? The Cardinals and the Seahawks?
Yep.
We'll see.
All right. The next game is the Titans, Tennessee at Baltimore. The line is Baltimore by 10. I don't know if they cover 10, but they win. I got Baltimore win.
Yeah, they always be a little salty after that Pittsburgh game anyway. I called Calhoun while the game was on. Like, man, these people really don't like each other. When the kickers, you about to fight another player, I'm like, it's a real hated rivalry. But coming off that ass kicking they took at the hands of Pittsburgh, I feel like Joe Flacco and Harbaugh and Steve Smith, they get it together. Ain't nobody. So I take Baltimore, but not by
10. Not by 10. Yeah. The next 1 o'clock game is Pittsburgh at the Jets.
Oh yeah. I take Pittsburgh. I've been going against Pittsburgh, but until somebody knocked Roethlisberger off his horse, at least stop that offense. You see what I'm saying? They done brought James Harrison back a little bit more. Veteran leadership on that defense, so they ain't just been really shutting nobody down, but I guess it's gonna gain them a little bit more oomph as far as toughness. And that offense been superb the last 2 weeks until I see somebody just stop him. I'm gonna have to roll with Pittsburgh.
Can Michael Vick stop him?
No, the Atlanta Falcons, Mike Vick, maybe. He stopped me before, but this might be nah.
The line is 6. I got Pittsburgh winning. I think they cover the line. They red. Roethlisberger is red hot right now, which means Pittsburgh is red hot right now. So
exactly.
And we always use an analogy of a of an outdated porn star with his porn star. Pittsburgh is the old porn star. They went and got a boob job, went and got a couple of tattoos, learned some new tricks, and just came back and set the game back on fire.
Exactly. That's exactly what they did. We got some butter implants, big breasts, tattoo across the ass. They say hot tamale, and they done took the game
off. All right, the first 4-5 game is the Broncos at the Raiders. Now, what you gonna do, buddy boy? The line is devil by 12 and a half.
Yeah, the Raiders?
Yeah, your team.
Oh, the Raiders. Now, I'm going with the Raiders. I'm still going with the Raiders. Now, my teams are Baltimore and San Francisco, but I've been picking the Raiders every game this season, and they haven't won one. But, yet again, against the Broncos, the Raiders are going to shock the world. Darren McFadden, David Carr, they're going to do something that time. They're going to win. The Broncos are going to lose 2 in a row.
This line could be 92 and a half, and that still isn't high enough. After a horrible loss like that, they are finna, they're going to beat the shit out of the Raiders. He might throw for 10 touchdowns in one game versus them.
Man, I'm going with the Raiders team.
All right, the next 4 o'clock game is the Rams at the Cardinals. Okay. Line is Arizona by 7.5. I say Arizona win, but they don't cover that line.
That's a good one. That's a good one right now for real. The Rams, they beat San Francisco last week, didn't they?
Yep.
I'm saying, Cardinals, you ain't got to say too much about them. They playing that same under the radar ball they played last year when they went 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs. So. And Carson Palmer's playing close to his old Cincinnati days. So I'm going to have to go with the Cardinals. But now I don't think they beat them by 7.
Yeah. The next 4 o'clock game is the Giants, the New York Giants at Seattle.
Seattle win. Eli, like I said, I
wrote the line of Seattle by 9.5.
Yeah, they might cover 9.5 because I finna say I rolled the Giants a couple of games earlier in the year. Eli plays a good game, but since Victor Cruz went down, that team been like depleting on offense all the way around. And it's hard to beat Seattle really in Seattle. So I say the Seahawks.
This is my upset pick. I got the Giants win.
Why? You got the Giants win? You just
want to... No, I'm finna tell you. I honestly don't think Seattle's that good this year. I think they're good, like playoff good, but they definitely aren't Seattle from last year. I think we all can agree on that. I think that the biggest thing going for them is that they are playing at home. I think New York needs this win to keep pace. And normally when New York needs a win to keep pace, they normally get a win to keep pace. You know what I'm saying? So
they got no offense.
I think Eli got a rabbit he could pull out his hat.
You just touched on the same thing I said. The powerhouses having off years right now. You just said the same thing about Seattle. You said about San Francisco. They're not that good, but they don't show you that they are. And this ain't the game that's going to determine if Seattle that good. They're going to beat the Giants, but they're going to get it in the gear. I think they and San Francisco are going to get it in the gear.
If they're that good, if both of these teams are that good, Seattle beats the Giants by 20, and the San Francisco beats New Orleans by 10. That'll make me look at those teams like, whoa, maybe I'm wrong about them. I think New Orleans and San Francisco, not to stick on that game too long. I think that they're trending in different directions. I think New Orleans is trending up. San Francisco is trending down. And maybe it may just be a result of who they played. Like New Orleans hasn't played nobody. San Francisco plays in hard division. But you know, right now I say one is trending down, one is trending up. So the 8 o'clock game on Sunday night game is the Bears at the Packers. The line is Green Bay by 7.5.
Yep, I think they cover. Aaron Rodgers this Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler been, he got the weapons, he got the supporting cast on offense for Forte and tight ends and receiver. He got what he needs, but he still sometimes he be Jay Cutler. He throw the pass he shouldn't throw. He missed the opportunity that he has sometimes. So I go with the Green Bay Packers because Aaron Rodgers been pretty much A1 on his delivery and his timing with his receivers. But he making really Jordy Nelson and Cobb, he really making them into a premier receiver, just like Roethlisberger doing with that what his name is, Sanders?
No, Antonio Brown.
So I think A-Rod's
gonna, I think they'll take care of Chicago. I agree. And you gave the football a reason why. I'm gonna give the digitaldarren.com podcast show reason why. We always use analogies of women and cars. This time I'm gonna do a different analogy. The Chicago Bears are like this house, the mansion that somebody we know used, the soda man used to have. He caught it for, you catch it for a steal. It got a pool. It's what? 30 room house, 7 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, a sauna, an indoor pool, and an outdoor pool. And you know, you catch it for $700,000. A $4 million house you catch for $700,000. So you think, like, boy, I caught a steal of a deal, right? You get there, and the electricity needs reworking. The pool has cracks in it. The sauna has a humidifier leak that's leaking poison. The sheetrock done been, the carpet done been taken out. People done punch holes in the sheetrock. The roof got a leak. So when you look on outside, you're like, darn, this thing looks good. But when you go inside and clearly inspect it, you realize, hey, I need to put $3 million just to get it back to where to be what it was originally. And you look at it like, damn, all these bells and whistles. The shit ain't worth the hassle. Because once you do that, you forget that, hey, to keep the pool, the sun, and everything going, your power bill is going to be $20,000 a month, right? Like, to keep the heat going in a house that much, your gas bill is going to be $10,000 a month. Then your HOAs, and then at the end of your property tax is another $50,000. So what this house that has all the amenities and all the bells and whistles that looks good initially comes back and bites you in the ass. It looks like shit at the end of the day. Because all the other hidden fees and costs. And that's Chicago. You look at Alshon Jeffrey. You look at Matt Forte. You look at Brandon Marshall. You look at Lance Briggs. You think all this, they should be doing more. But at the end of the day, they have a shitty quarterback, a suspect coach, and their defense is getting old. And their skill players, besides Jeffrey and Marshall, are getting old. And they don't make big plays. They make a lot of plays, but not big plays. So, I think the Bears aren't a good team.
Yeah, that's the whole roundup on the Bears, all the way from the root to the tooth. Because, like you said, a big name defensive players are either old or hurt. You Tierman gone, Jared Allen getting old, Lance Briggs getting old. Like you said, then the coach is who? How much experience or how good of a coach is he? Jay Cutler, he stayed in that. He always been in that mid. Is he a superstar? Is he a scrub? He floats that. He straddles that fence real well.
Like a pro. He straddled it like nobody's business.
Yeah, he straddled that. 1 week ago, I look like a superstar. But then I throw four himself to D Hall and I talk trash. But I really look like trash. And so. He scrubbing their feet, like you said, like a pro. And that's the song about the Bears. They do look good on paper and with the names that they bring to the table, but they play don't equal up to their names or their hype. So, you know, I think the Bears, they're going to lose. And they're not a real good team.
Yeah. The last game, I know we spent a lot of time on that game. For both of us to say Green Bay gonna beat the shit out of the Bears. The last game, Monday night game, is the Panthers at the Eagles. I'm gonna start. The line is Philly by 6 without Nick Foles and with Mark Sanchez starting. I don't see how Philly wins that game. I got Carolina winning. If Cam can't beat Mark Sanchez, something is wrong with Cam.
Oh, Oh, yeah. I don't care what they offense, I don't care what they playing it. I saw that today. Mark Sanchez, he's still Mark Sanchez. And as much as I don't want to see it, Nick Foles pretty much make the Eagles offense go the way it go. Because he's not no, like the steakhouse comparison, he's not Drew Brees or he's not Houston's, but he's decent. You know what I'm saying? He's decent for what Philly need, but Mark Sanchez can't help nobody. They might as well should have had Tim Tebow. So, I don't care what. Like you said, if Cam Newton can't beat Mark Sanchez, it'll be a big blow to his ego, his stock, and everything else. They gonna roast him Tuesday morning.
As well they should. All right, this has been DigitalDarren.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to get your name on the letter that we deliver to Arthur Blank. Again, it depends on what happens to the Falcons this weekend. But if you would like to add your name to the list, to this petition, email us at digital, D-I-G-I-T-A-L, Darren, D-A-R-O-N, at gmail, gmail.com. Digital Darren, D-A-R-O-N, at gmail.com. And tell us your name, and we'll be sure to sign your name on the list, on the paper, on the letter that we will hand deliver to Atlanta Falcons and Arthur Blank. Thank you guys for listening. Again, this has been DigitalDarren.com. Oh, man, we're not talking about this shit. We got a basketball podcast coming soon. Make sure to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.